One of the strangest things God did to prove to you that he loves you is the instant that he died on the cross. There was a massive earthquake, and people who died and had been buried rose from their graves, and they came back to life. Don't believe me? Read the passage with me. Matthew 27, verses 51 through 53. "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Who were these people who raised from the dead? Who were these saints? These are people who had died most recently and now had gone back into the city where they were recognized without introduction. These once dead people were now roaming the streets, catching up with friends and family. It's certainly something that nobody would forget. If you ever needed a good plot for a movie, this would be it. I don't know about you, I'm not much for zombie movies, but this would fall in that category. You could have a scene where a wife comes home from the shop from shopping to discover that her once dead husband's sharing a conversation with a man that she married after he passed. They could be sharing a drink at the kitchen table together and having a few laughs. You could have a scene where the once dead husband was having an argument with his wife about the way she spent his life insurance money on the new carpet and curtains. You could have a scene where the husband who had passed away comes through the door and the wife looks at him and says, "Well, I told you, you should have changed your diet or you're going to have a heart attack." Passages like this are easy to speculate, especially since it's such a brief account. But this passage wasn't written to make us open Pandora's box of speculation. These verses were written to tell us something special about the nature of Jesus' death. The tombs were shaken and broken open by an earthquake. Then at Jesus' resurrection 3 days later, the dead rose from the grave. Remember, people weren't buried like they are today, under the ground, 6 feet under. People were buried in caves with rocks rolled in front of them. If you remember, that's how Jesus was buried. The earthquake when Jesus died probably dislodged many of the stones covering the graves. Then upon Jesus' resurrection, many of the saints were raised back to life, and they walked out of their graves. They walked from death to life. Jesus' death and resurrection proves Jesus has defeated death. But not everybody. Upon investigation of doing a massive body count, a trend would develop. Not all the tombs were empty. Not everyone's come to life. The account tells us it is the saints who rise. And that's a difficult trend for the Jews to deal with. It was a common belief by most Jews that there would be a resurrection. However, when the resurrection did take place, the Jews expected all the Jews to rise, not a limited number. The fact that some bodies remained in the tomb would cause a few comfort zones to be ruffled. Imagine you were a Pharisee that day, and from your earliest theological training days, you've been told that all Pharisees will be included in the resurrection. But I suspect there would have been quite a few Pharisees' tombs that were undisturbed. These people are still in their graves, and it's a truth that shocks the Pharisees. The breaking open of the tombs had created a crisis. Certainly everybody would be asking, why is it that some were raised and others were not? Well, here's the answer. The resurrection of the dead is for the righteous only. After they're raised, these walking dead enter into Jerusalem and they're seen by many. Suddenly, everyone in Jerusalem realized that Jesus' death and now his resurrection had significant meaning. Up to this point, everybody believed that death was final. Death was always the victor. Death had the final say. When Jesus died, everyone thought it was all over for him. But looks can be deceiving. And that's because death is not a natural occurrence. Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were created, death was not part of the picture. It's only after sin enters the picture that death has a role. Death is the result of sin. You see, the grave has every right to hold us unless our sin can be covered. Death has every right to keep us unless a payment can be made. Satan has every right to make claim on us unless a ransom's been given. And when Jesus breathed his last, that is exactly what happened. Sin is covered, a payment is made, a ransom is given, and death watches helplessly as Jesus claims what is rightfully his. It is at the death of Jesus that victory is secured. The resurrection of Jesus is more like a victory lap. Sin has been covered, the payment's been paid. When all those recently risen holy ones enter the city, they do so as participants in a victory lap of Jesus. And that's the reason why these saints were raised. All were not raised because in their lifetime they had focused on the wrong thing. The saints were the ones who trusted God, who had set them apart, not because they were Jewish, but because he was faithful. The saints didn't presume they had a place in heaven just because they were born in Jerusalem or born a Jew. They trusted in the grace of God to bring them into his family. The saints were not the ones who sacrificed at the temple and went on with life as they pleased. No, the saints were the ones who sacrificed their hearts as well. The saints understood they couldn't do it on their own, that they needed a Savior. Each of those empty tombs represents a person who understands the real spiritual victory cannot be earned, but rather that spiritual victory can only be found when we put our trust in God's incredible grace. So where does that leave us today? First, it leaves us with a challenge. What we're seeing here is a preview of what's going to happen in the future. There will be a day when a resurrection will occur again, and it's going to be a selective event. Jesus will come again, and all of us will rise again, and we'll be divided into two groups. Some will be given to God to be before his throne forever, and God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, I know you." But some, the other half, will end up in the second death, to be banished from God's presence forever. God will say to them, "I don't know you." And like the people in the city of Jerusalem, none of us should presume which group we're in. We can look at the situation from two sides of a fence. The first side, you might think, you've been baptized in the church, but you need to know that baptism doesn't save you. You may think, "Oh, I've been a longtime member of this church." Well, that doesn't save you either. You could be one of our key workers, but that doesn't make you any more saved. Or you might be on the other side of the fence. You might feel like you have nothing to offer God. My friend, that won't save you. That won't stop you from being saved. You might be having doubts and questions. My friend, that won't stop you from being saved. You might be carrying guilt, shame, hurt, hidden secrets, regrets. My friend, none of those have to keep you from salvation. Salvation is totally and solely linked to the cross. If we've come on the basis of our own merits, we're being presumptuous. If we disqualify ourselves on the basis of something we've done, we're being presumptuous. But if we come trusting in the grace of God, provided through what he did on the cross, then we'll never be presumptuous. That is the challenge, but there's also much comfort in that. You see, at the end of the day, those holy people that rose from the grave, they're just like us. They had their struggles and difficulties. They had their times when they wondered what God was doing and how he was working. They had their days when they were overwhelmed by their own sinfulness and their need for God's grace. They had times when they knew that they had let God down. But the difference between them and the others was that they had faith to know that God would never let them down. They trusted in the realities of the cross. What are the realities of the cross? The death could not hold him down. He lives. And my friends, death will not hold us down. In him we live. It is not a movie. This is grace in action. The death and victory of Christ guarantees it. It allows us to go from death to life. And my friends, that's what God did to win your heart.